Moving on, imagine a scenario where your consultant has asked you to carry out a procedure or explain something to a patient that you feel yourself you're not comfortable with because you haven't got the experience or the knowledge to do so. The GMC guidance is clear. You must make clear the limits of your knowledge and make reasonable checks to make sure any information you give is accurate. In this situation, the steps that you choose or the actions that you take must show that you recognize this and that you're taking steps to ensure patient safety. Being honest and open with the consultant about the fact that you're not sure about how to do that particular task, asking for help and advice or support from a senior colleague like a registrar when doing so, or maybe explain to a consultant that you'd like to take this as a learning opportunity if they could come and do it with you this first time. Again, patient safety has to come first, and depending on the options that you're given, choose something that shows that you're aware of the need to not go beyond your limits. The next part talks about working collaboratively with colleagues. And a key part of the guidance is that you must treat colleagues fairly and with respect. Now, there could be a number of scenarios or situations that are given to you in an assessment like this, where you're witnessing a colleague not being treated fairly and not being treated with respect. And you have to be really clear that the answer that you give for the action that you think is most appropriate fits in with this guidance. Whether it mean intervening in a situation there and then, whether it mean discussing it with the person involved at a later point, or whether it mean discussing it with a senior colleague, it must be clear that you're willing to take action to make sure that your colleague is treated fairly and with due respect. The next piece of guidance revolves around treating people fairly and without discrimination. You must give priority to patients on the basis of their clinical need, if the decisions are within your power. For example, you're in a situation where a colleague on the ward has asked you to treat one patient, whereas you think clinically someone else needs your attention first. It would be really important to again demonstrate that you're taking actions to make sure you're sticking with the guidance. This may involve apologizing to your colleague and explaining why you need to see the patient that needs your clinical input first, whilst reassuring that you may ask another colleague to assess the patient they want to be seen, or that you will see their patient as soon as you finish seeing the one that takes clinical priority. Your ability to show that you can make decisions quickly based on clinical need, but also be honest and respectful to your colleagues and other patients, will be important to demonstrate. So if you come across questions or scenarios around delegation or referral, you've got to be satisfied that the person or the team that you're passing care on to has the appropriate qualifications, skills, and experience to provide safe care to that patient. Say, for example, you're in a dilemma where you want to refer or delegate the care of somebody because your shift ends, but you're not confident that one of your junior doctors, for example, or junior members of the team is competent to take on this role, then you've got to come up with alternative actions that may be important to demonstrate that you're not putting patient safety at risk. This could be, of course, discussing with ward managers, other members of your team, or your clinical supervisor or consultant, for example. Remember, in all of these types of scenarios and questions, patient safety is always paramount. You must be open and honest with patients if things go wrong. In these situations, three things should happen. Number one, you should put matters right if it's possible. Number two, an apology should be offered. And number three, you should explain fully and promptly what has happened to the patient and the likely short-term and long-term effects. So if you're given a scenario where there's been a mistake, for example, make sure your actions that you choose as part of your answers represent these three things. So for example, if in a scenario a medication has not been given to a patient that was supposed to be given, number one, there should be an action which puts that matter right. So either we give the medication ourselves, or we arrange for a colleague to do it as soon as possible. Secondly, an apology should be offered to the patient, regardless if the patient realizes themselves that there's been a delay of their medication. And thirdly, as soon as possible, we should be explaining to them what happened and the likely short-term and long-term effects. Depending on the medication, of course, and the duration that's been missed, there may be no effects, but there may be significant things that we need to be honest and open about with the patient.